WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The memoirs of the late scientist and dissident Andrei Sakharov have just been published in the U.S. Book critic John Leonard has this review.
There's a great tradition of Russian autobiography. From troubled lives, Herzen, Kropotkin, Gorky, and Trotsky made world literature. The bad news is that Sakharov's memoirs don't belong to that tradition. The father of the Soviet hydrogen bomb and winner of the 1975 Nobel Prize for Peace is not especially introspective. His own marriages seem almost to embarrass him, though one gathers his first wife was difficult and her death something of a relief, whereas his second, to the remarkable Elena Bonner, sustained him through all miseries. Nor has he the literary gift to light up our understanding of the extraordinary men he knew and worked with personally, Khrushchev, Beria, Brezhnev, and Gorbachev. His many pages on hard science are heavy slogging for the general reader. I could follow most of the biology, but he lost me in particle physics, in matter and antimatter. I know this science explains both his privileged position in Soviet society and his passion for disarmament, but it's forbidding. The good news is that there ever was a Sakharov, and that we have any memoirs at all after the KGB stole 1,400 pages. From the raw material of his moral witness, we can imagine the hero. It never occurred to him to behave otherwise. Why? It's one thing for writers to be dissidents. Knowing our best and worst experiences happen inside the self, writers seek the language to express that self. When the state requires them, like the poet Mayakovsky, to crush underfoot the throat of my very own songs, we count on them to howl. From all those persecuted because of religion, we expect the same. But scientists can work in silence, anywhere, for anybody. An inner self needn't spoil the party in chemistry or physics. And yet Sakharov looked through his lens and saw, instead of particles or stars, a scruple, written in blood on the space-time curve, a Bill of Human Rights, another trial to go to, another petition to sign. Great-grandson of an Orthodox priest, grandson of a defense attorney, son of a mathematics professor, he grew up on Pushkin, Tolstoy, and Beethoven, Gogol and Dickens, Hamlet and Faust, Uncle Tom's Cabin, and The Last of the Mohicans. 3 times named a hero of socialist labor, and the youngest member ever of the Academy of Sciences, he threw it all away for Catholic nuns and Jewish refuseniks, school teachers, railroad workers, and garage mechanics. They were guilty of writing a letter, reading an article, seeking a visa, or belonging to watch groups that monitored Soviet observance of the Helsinki Accord on human rights. He named the prison camps and psychiatric hospitals where they'd been sent. He wouldn't shut up. There's a Miro poster of him on my wall. I used to think he was the sort of person Turgenev meant when he said, "An honorable man will end up not knowing where to live." But when Sakharov died last year, 80,000 children of the Arbat and the Gulag buried him by candlelight in a red and black coffin with a cut green bow, to Chopin's funeral march, and raised their fists in clenched farewell. And there's something more important than world literature, and that's world citizenship, for which these memoirs are a compass, a ticket, a user's manual, and a recipe.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine. He's a columnist for New York Newsday and media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed memoirs by Andrei Sakharov.